flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yes, that light falls on the right, baby. Not that Maggie's. Back in time.
On the Fan, McMonagle here with you. I've got you for 3 hours as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Music up, music down. We're gonna have a good time over the next 3 hours taking your phone calls. Let's talk a little Jets, why don't we? Because guess what? They won the press conference. Woo! Let's go! I'm ready to run through a wall. That's right. Man, he even talked about the 1998 AFC Championship game. Let's go! Woo! Listen, Aaron Glenn did win the press conference. There's no doubt about it. He had a... But when you hear him speak, it's... He is football coach. There is no doubt about it. He is football coach. And he did a tremendous job, even in the media scrum after the one-on-one on SNY. He answered every question the way you'd want him to answer the question. He showed passion. He showed, like, to me, the number one thing. If you're really going to get jazzed up as a Jet fan, and I expect you to. I know I had a little fun there in the open. I'm having a little fun. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. If you really are going to get all excited as a Jet fan, and you should. You should be excited. You should be excited. Because I do believe a lot of things can be fixed with a really good head coach. I still feel that way about this team. I was high on them last year. I still think a lot can be fixed by just a good head coach. And I think they got one. And I think the press conference went really well. And I think he did a lot of the stuff you want to hear from me, number one, before we get into some of the different things he said and how I feel that can answer some other questions and how the Jets should move. Just first and foremost, if I were a Jet fan, he wanted the job. He wanted this job, and I totally believe him. Listen, would he have taken the Saints job if they went somewhere else? Sure. But he wanted this job. I totally believe him. He wants this opportunity. He does want to, you know, bring winning back to this franchise that he loves and that he played for and that it established his relationship with Parcells and all that. But like, I totally respect how much he wants the job. And I respect, you know, the idea of, I could have done without the car analogy, the seatbelt. And after all, gas, no brakes, maybe just stay away from anything car related. No need for seatbelt lines or anything like that. But the, we're the New York Jets and we're built for this blank, that's a line that you're going to either look back on and laugh and say, yeah, we're the New York Jets. What exactly are we built for? We're built for losing. We've lost more than, we haven't made the playoffs in how many years? What are we built for exactly? It sounds very much like Rex Ryan, play like a Jet. And that's why I'm not even trying to knock him, because I think he did a great job. And we're going to find out. These press conferences are so overrated. It's ridiculous. It means, I'm sorry, Jet fans, I'm not trying to poo-poo it. And it has nothing to do with him. All you could do is either be good at this or be bad at this, right? And he was good at this today. And I do think for some organizations, it's more important than others. And I think for the Jets, it was important to instill confidence and do some of the things. He went through the checklist. He wants the job. Right? First and foremost, he wants the job. He harkens back to times when he was here with the team and he was successful. And he talks about accountability. And he talks about, you know, building the roster. And he talks about culture building. And he hit a bunch of different topics. He gives you the hard, passionate stuff. He gives you, this is the Jets. This is, you know, and we're built for this and all that stuff. Fine, right? I'm on board. He had a very good press conference. It means absolutely nothing. We have seen it before, and I know this is cliche, and we can go through it. You know, Joe Judge won the press conference with the New York Giants on a level the likes of which the Giants have never seen. He was a disastrous head coach. He didn't have nearly the accomplishments that Aaron Glenn does. He didn't play the game. He wasn't even a defensive coordinator. He was a special teams guy for like 2 years. Like, Aaron Glenn is far more suited for this. Aaron Glenn deserves this shot a hell of a lot more than Joe Judge did, and I firmly believe he'll be a better head coach than Joe Judge. But they both won the press conference. Nick Sirianni's headed to the Super Bowl. The words couldn't come out of his mouth. Go back and watch Nick Sirianni's introductory press conference. He couldn't speak. He bungled every line. And he's going to his second Super Bowl in 2 weeks. It means absolutely nothing. I hate to tell you that, and I know we're all going to get excited about it. All gas, no brakes sounds like a pretty good line to me. It's laughable now, thinking about how it was plastered all over the building when we watched Hard Knocks, and to think of, you know, him going back to San Francisco to run the defense again and how much it failed here, and how he was fired week five, and all gas, no brakes is something we're going to laugh at and try and forget as Jet fans. This means absolutely nothing. How well he did in this press conference means nothing. I thought Darren Muji, and thank God, me and Pat Boyle were just talking about this. Thank God it's Muji and not Moogie, because it would have been just to hear Loogie and Moogie. I can't take it. I've had enough. Let's be honest. Loogie, that's enough. You can't have another thing. So thankfully, we've got Darren Muji, who won the press conference as well. I mean, he did okay. He sounded all right. He didn't have some weird voice that we couldn't understand. He sounded just fine. This seems like a competent. He talked about meeting Glenn in his interview process when he was interviewing for the Denver head coach a few years ago. Like, they did as well as you could possibly do. But it means absolutely nothing. We're going to get to the difference between what happened here and what happened in Duval. And we'll see how much, as time plays out, the difference. We'll get to that later. But with Liam Cohen. But here's the thing I do want to focus on from what we heard and what I think is important. Because obviously, I also thought it was great how he nipped some questions in the bud. Like, he knew exactly the Aaron Rodgers question. I mean, anyone with a head on their shoulders understood it. But he didn't wait for the question. I love that. He understood exactly what was coming. He jumped the question. He answered the question. He's non-committal to the situation. But what I love the most, and what I think is going to be the most important and why I'm questioning this whole thing on some different levels, is when he was asked about culture building And obviously, with the New York Jets, so much of it is culture. I know we kind of laugh, I mock the culture of winning with the New York Giants, and us tankers don't really care too much about culture wins at the end of the season. But starting a new regime, and especially for this franchise, I do think culture building is enormous. And I think they have to bring a winning culture here and expect it to win. That famous clip of him during Hard Knocks when he was the Lions defensive coordinator a few years ago, talking about, you know, an expectation of winning, right? To wake up and believe you're going to win that day. And that goes along with the Jets, and that goes along with revenge for the 98 conference championship game, and it goes along with all that. I loved everything about it, and I particularly loved when asked about what's culture building, and he said and he pretty much told you the same thing I'm telling you, that this means nothing. That all this rah, rah, rah speech and all this, you know, put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride and, you know, we're the New York Jets and we're built for this bleep. Like, all that means nothing. Because when he was asked, how do you change the culture? He said, I could give all the rah, rah speeches I want. I can give all the rah, rah speeches I want. Culture building is about people. And I firmly believe that. I think he's 100% right. It's not just about him. It's about his staff. It's about that we talk about people. The most important person is the owner. And he talked a little bit about having some accountability with himself and looking in the mirror. And, you know, everybody praised him. You know, they talked about the owner. Oh, he wants to win. Desperately. You could talk to Woody for 5 seconds. He wants to win. Okay? But I think that person at the top of the heap here is part of the reason they've had trouble building culture. I don't think there's any question about it. So for me, I firmly believe Aaron Glenn, and I think he's 100% right when he tells you culture building is about bringing the right people. So now it's about his staff. And I look at the offensive coordinator, right? Because now you're going to have the rookie GM. You've got the rookie head coach. He's already told you he's not calling the defense or the offense. He wants to be a game manager. He wants to focus on managing the game. I think that's probably the right way to go. But if you're going to bring in a defensive coordinator with some head coaching experience, that's fine. But it sounds like, and I know Nick Caley now, who was originally the name that you heard around the offensive coordinator, he just interviewed with the Bucks to replace Liam Cohen. He's going to get some other opportunities to go talk to other teams. Like, for me, if you're going to have a rookie head coach and you're going to have a rookie offensive coordinator and you're going to have a rookie GM, that's where you have to sell me on how that's the people who will now build the culture of the New York Jets. Because that's what it's about. It's not about rah-rah speeches. It's not about, I just won the press conference. And I'm sure there are Jet players right now. Or, you know, hopefully they're sleeping. Because as the great head coach Tom Coughlin used to say, nothing good happens after 2 a.m. except this show, of course. So hopefully they're awake listening or they're sleeping. But when they heard that press conference, I'm sure they got all pumped up. I'm sure they were texting each other. I'm sure they're pumped. He's a former Jet. He understands it. I did a podcast today. And the guy running the podcast told me he hopes it's good for Sauce Gardner, someone who's been a cornerback on this team through ups and downs. Like, I think there's probably a lot of players who are excited to welcome in a defensive coordinator for a team that's been winning, someone who's been here in this building, who's been a scout for this team, who's been a player for this team, who's gone through it with this team. And talks like that and get you pumped up and ready to run through a wall. I'm sure there's a lot of Jets right now pumped up. But it's about the culture and what they could do with this coaching staff, because it's not just him, it's about who's underneath him and who's the position coaches and who's the offensive coordinator and who's getting this thing going, because I trust him to do the two things, you know, that really plagued this team in many ways the last handful of years: hold players accountable and cut the nonsense, right? And mainly hold players accountable and build some kind of culture. Those two things, I think he can do that. But for me, and I know this all harkens back to it, and I have a hard time getting off of it, if we're going to answer questions about Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to say, when asked, what's a quarterback, and we'll play the clip a little bit later, hey, Aaron Glenn, what is an Aaron Glenn quarterback? And the answer is a winner, mentally strong, physically talented. Do you know who that describes? That describes Aaron Rodgers. And he also said that every decision with the team will be a football decision. Well, I'm sorry. Call me crazy. If you're going to have this super press conference that everybody deems a grand slam, home run, unbelievable winning press conference, and you're going to talk about culture building, and you're going to talk about winning now, and you're going to talk about everything is based on football, you're going to have a hard time telling me that I'm going to bring in a rookie GM and make him find my quarterback. I'm going to bring in a rookie offensive coordinator, and I'm going to make him work with some sort of lesser quarterback than I have in the room right now. And that's going to change this all in 1 year, because that's what he's selling. He's selling this changes now. And as excited as you may be in this moment, I promise you, if they win 5 games next year, that excitement goes out the window. And so for me, when I'm looking at a young offensive coordinator, who better to give than Aaron Rodgers, who can come in here, and that offensive coordinator's got to be assertive, and that offensive coordinator's got to make sure that he doesn't get walked all over by Aaron Rodgers. But if you're going to look to build some culture, and you're going to look to get, you know, this rookie offensive coordinator some experience, who better to pick his mind than Aaron Rodgers, one of the smartest football players that's ever come across the NFL? If it's about winning now, if it's about winning now and changing all of this, then you have to give this roster the best opportunity to win. And if it's about football decisions, tell me how Aaron Rodgers isn't the best football decision for this team. So moving forward, I look at this and I go, we've seen great press conferences. We've seen miserable press conferences. We've seen winning and losing out of both of them. Today was just a, or yesterday, was a day where he established himself as the coach. He checked a lot of the boxes you want to hear. I want this job. Check. I used to play for the team. Check. I'm as bitter and angry about my failures and this organization's failures as you are, and I want revenge. I'll be damned if the 1998 AFC Championship game happens again. Let's get there and find out. But like, he checked all the boxes for you. He said everything you could possibly want. He showed you the attitude you possibly wanted, and it's genuine and it's real, and I'm excited. And I'm excited. But when he talks about culture building, he doesn't tell you, well, I just gave a great speech. He doesn't tell you, well, I just talked about the AFC Championship game. He doesn't tell you, what I give you, seatbelt, and we're built like Jets and all that. It has nothing to do with changing this team. What's changing this team? Bringing in the right people. What's changing this team? Winning now. What's changing this team? Bringing in winning players and making football decisions. And everything there, to me, speaks to Aaron Rodgers still being the quarterback of this team. Coming in and winning right away. And especially if you're going to give a rookie general manager the task of finding a quarterback with a $40 million dead cap hit. And especially if you're going to give a rookie offensive coordinator the task of developing a young quarterback, and I don't know which one you're going to get drafting seventh. You're going to trade back in for Jackson Dart. You're going to get one of these other quarterbacks in the second round. Like, where are you going? Because it sounds like, who knows, but it sounds like in Pittsburgh they're keeping both of those quarterbacks. Where you're going to go bring in another veteran? Or at least go with one of those two quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. Maybe one of those shake free. Aaron Glenn told you what this is really about. And it's not about catchphrases. And it's not about harkening back to 1998. And as much as I'd like it to be, it's not about Wayne Corbett and all that. Those are all positives. And those are all things that help today, make today special. But if you want to change the Jets, it's about winning. And it's about bringing in the right people. And if you're going to bring in people who've never done it before, you can't tell me they're the right people right away. They have to develop into the right people. And helping that along is winning. And helping that along is giving an offensive coordinator a veteran quarterback who's going to the Hall of Fame, who's won a Super Bowl, and who understands the game as well as anyone who's ever played it. So he was non-committal with Aaron Rodgers. They're open to Aaron Rodgers. They're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. But if they're going to make a football decision and tell you as such, for me, it's a tough task to get off Aaron Rodgers, to sell him on all this, to talk about football decisions, and then come back and go, well, yeah, no, we're going to make a football decision and get rid of the Hall of Famer and bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. So for me, great day for the Jets. Exciting press conference. He did a hell of a job. He got all of us ready to run through a wall, but he did mention the one thing I do agree with. It's about people. It's about people. Bring in the right coordinators. Keep the quarterback. 888-808-1009. McMonagle here with you on the Fans. We'll talk Jets to start. I saved off on all the Pete Alonso yesterday off the championship games on Monday to kind of focus on that. I'm going to get, obviously, into Pete. We'll talk about what happened on Amazing Day, the reaction from some of the fans towards the owner, towards the GM, what's going on in that situation, how much of a hindrance, or is all the blame on Scott Boras? Because I think there should be some for everybody involved, including Pete Alonso and including David Stearns.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Salas and Todd Bowles and Adam Gases. Sometimes you need a jackass. So here's Aaron Glenn when he's doing his media scrum. So it's the kind of private interviews, if you will, being asked again about Aaron Glenn. And notice Aaron Rodgers. This Aaron thing is very confusing. We'll just go by last names now. That's what we have to do. Here's Glenn being asked about Rodgers for the 15th time. And Glenn basically said, you know what I'm going to do to you guys, you media people? I'm going to dog train you right now because you guys are my bleep. Here's Aaron Glenn.
Will Aaron Rodgers be your quarterback?
You're going to continue to ask me the same question and get the same answer. We're still in evaluation mode. So for anybody else going to ask that, I'm going to give you the same answer. So don't waste your time. Be clear.
Well, let's answer that. What do you look for in a quarterback? Like, what's an Aaron Glenn quarterback?
A winner. A winner. Mental and physical toughness.
When you talk about that process,
you're not going to get me.
But well, let me ask you this. You know, Parcells, you know, I know you guys are close. He always
that's
said,
"That's Parcells." Okay. I'm Aaron Glenn.
Okay, so you don't.
That's Parcells. I'm Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
He spanked Rich Samini. He's like, I know your games. I played here. You're going to bring up Parcells. You're going to ask me what I'm looking. I'm not answering the damn question. And the best part was the media's laughing because it's like, aha, it's funny. Aaron Glenn gave him death stares. He's like, no, I'm not. Don't F with me.
Right.
And I know this doesn't win games. I want to make that clear. I know this doesn't win games, but I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I mean,
after games, I want to hear someone who's going to give me anger, even if that anger is only at Brian Costello.
Well, here's the reality of all of this. And it only works with Aaron Glenn because he has a built-up equity from his success as a player here. Most coaches come to New York, they have zero equity.
Right.
They start with an empty tank, and they have to build it up. And the only way to build it up is to win the ball game.
That's it.
You're not going to build it up by winning the press conference. It might get a little bit of fumes in there in the tank, but the only way to build it up for anyone else that would have been the coach would have been to win football games. Now, if you was your second or third time as head coach and you had multiple successes and playoff runs and a reputation ahead of that preceded you, maybe you'd get some equity. Aaron Glenn gets it because he played. And so he can be a jerk.
Yes.
and it's not going to affect him at all.
I don't know why I like this jerk, though. Like, this jerk, it's early.
But,
and
by the way, I don't think he's being a jerk. I think he's making them play it by his terms.
That's right.
And most people can't do that.
Well, I think, to your point, when guys come here and they're coaching in New York, especially when they don't have a background in New York, they spend these days kissing the asses of the New York media, thinking, well, if I get them on my side, won't be so critical
and
of me.
It's so wrong.
Of course it's wrong. They're going to turn as soon as you do a bad job.
Yep.
Just like we are as fans. And so, obviously, it comes down to winning games. That's obvious. That's for everybody. But I'm liking this to start. I am. Like, Ranger fans like John Tortorella when he was a pain in the ass, right? Didn't you like that, Sean?
Yeah, but is act worth it?
Of course, though, because eventually you got to win.
Yep.
And eventually the act does wear thin. I don't think this is an act. I think it's what Tiki said. I think Aaron Glenn's laying down the law. He's just saying, listen, I'm not going to give you the answer you want on Aaron Rodgers. You could try to fool me by bringing up Bill Parcells.
And I don't need to be forced to be put in an odd, awkward situation and give a stupid answer that you're going to run with and make in the headline. I don't have to do it. So I'm not going to say anything.
The key question is, and I was thinking about this, because one of the things Glenn said yesterday was, me and Muji are going to watch every game and every play from this past season, and they're going to evaluate. They're going to do big-time evaluations. What do you think he's going to see?
From who?
From Aaron Rodgers. Like, when he does the football evaluation, forget everything else. Forget the money. Forget the cap. Forget the personality. Forget the want. They're literally just watching tape. Something you've done. You'd be in that room.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn's overall opinion after watching 17 games of Aaron Rodgers is going to be...
So you remember when Patrick Ewing was the head coach at Georgetown?
Yes.
And... there was this famous clip where this, I don't know, one of his players, I forget his name, took this leaning away, one-handed, whatever shot.
Mm.
And then they go to the sideline, and Pat Ewing was like, have you ever practiced that shot? Have you ever tried to make that shot, like, other than that? And he just was going, like, digging into, I thought it was one of the greatest coaching moments that I've ever seen.
Right.
Because so many players think, oh, I can go backyard here and be successful. No, you can't. Right? You are successful when you have done on a game day what you repeatedly do in practice. Right? It's very simple. You practice, you get into a game, you don't have to think about it. You just do it. So to do something like, I don't know, leaning to your side and scooping it under and trying to kiss it off the top of the back. What the hell is that? Do you practice that? I think when Aaron Glenn watches Aaron Rodgers, he's going to see a lot of, man, how many times do you practice that, Aaron Rodgers? Do you do that regularly and, I don't know, off schedule like that? And it's intentional for Aaron because when he was younger, he could get away with it. But now he can't get away with those things. And... It's a half a second too late. It's a, I don't know, a 10% less velocity on the throw. They become incompletions or turnovers. And the only way Aaron Rodgers is going to be successful is if he gets back to being a fundamentally sound quarterback.
So when Glenn sees all of this stuff, is he going to say, I don't want to deal with this?
I don't know. I think it's going to be part of the conversation that he has. At least it would be the part of the conversation I would have if I was trying to evaluate face-to-face with Aaron Rodgers. Can we do this better, right? Can we make you more typical? Can we make you more efficient and successful by doing it differently? I know that you like to be, I don't know, fling it out there, just sidearmed with no mechanics, but it's not working anymore, right? Can we do it differently? And if Aaron Rodgers is saying, oh, I'm gonna play my game like I play my game, all right, then see ya.
Then we break up.
Right. But, and so I think there's a real conversation that needs to happen here. And it's deeper than just, do we want Aaron Rodgers? I think there's an evaluation that we don't think about enough when we look at how players age and how aged players stay successful.
Yeah. No, look, Aaron Glenn said, we're going to sit there, me and Moose, you're going to sit there and watch the tape.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, I watched the games. I didn't watch the tape. So I watched the football season. Right. And there were a lot of good things from Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of bad things from Aaron Rodgers, especially in big spots, especially late in games. But what Aaron Glenn is going to see, what you will see if you watch the tape, is far different from what we all watched for 17 games.
Right.
And so I am curious, is he going to like what he sees?
Can NFL Films also just shoot the Buffalo game week 17 and have him watch Aaron Rodgers just try to hit Devontae Adams for every single
game? Oh, my God, that was a disaster. Like, that's going to be one of the games.
I love that evaluation, mic'd up.
Well, when they watch that game, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see a lot of quitting. They're going to see a lot of selfishness. They're going to see a lot of that. Now, that's not how he's going to make the decision. He's not going to do it based on one game. But you're right. It's a 17-game season. That game... I know players like to say, burn the tape. No, no, no. Mm. Aaron Glenn and Moosh are going to have to watch that tape. And I am so glad I'm not there with them, because you'd have to pay me to watch that tape. Let's go to Sonny in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. 3 points. But first, I do like Aaron Glenn, obviously, his toughness, and he's going to be a disciplinarian, obviously, which you got from Parcells. But if you're going to be tough like that towards the media like he was yesterday, you know, you better win, number one. And number two, don't forget, Parcells was the charmer with the media. You got to have him on your side. 3 points really quick. Evan, I hope you know this. You probably do, even though you spend a lot of time making a big deal out of these press conferences. They mean nothing. The only thing I wanted to hear from the press conference, which I didn't from the media, is how are you going to build your coaching staff? Who are you going to hire? Mm. And what are your plans for that?
Right.
Number two, Aaron Rodgers, I would definitely bring him back. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks of our generation. And I think even though his skills have diminished, he's 42 years old, I think. You know, not too many quarterbacks have done what he's done. I think one named Tom Brady. But I think he elevates everybody in the building when he's here. And number three, who's the boss? If the GM wants Aaron Rodgers back and the coach doesn't, they have to go to the decision.
By the way, I think that's a great, great question. It's the power structure question. Let me first address, what does a press conference mean? I know you have to win games. I get that. But we've also been in this town when guys have lost press conferences. We all saw on YouTube, Twitter, or TV a young man by the name of Liam Cullen, the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We saw him.
No,
Jacksonville Jaguars. He left the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
We saw him embarrass himself. That's what we saw. We saw a really, really, really doofy man try to say Duval with a dopey look on his face.
Duval.
And everybody's laughing at him. And if that happened here in New York, much like Adam Gase's eyes darting all over the place, or Ben McAdoo's giant suit, it would be a bad first impression. It doesn't mean you can't coach, but it would be a bad start. All Aaron Glenn had yesterday was a very good start. I liked it. That doesn't mean he's going to win games. It just means that was a very nice start. So let's separate the two. You can be excited about a guy's performance at a press conference without saying it's going to lead to wins. I know it doesn't lead to wins yet. So let's play a little lie test. Here's what Woody Johnson said. You'll get to hear it, and then we all get to decide, is he full of crap, or did Woody Johnson learn from the mistakes of last year? He met the media after the big press conference to announce Aaron Glenn as the new head coach and his tall buddy as his general manager, Darren Moogie. First of all, Woody, there were reports last year that you were very, very, very involved. How involved were you, Woody?
You know, there were a lot of reports last year that you were, you know, heavily involved. Do you plan on stepping aside and let these guys do what they do?
Yeah.
Or could you describe how involved you'll be?
You don't believe those reports, do you?
He wrote them.
It was a lot of exaggeration, hyperbole. You know, there really was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you really have to take all that stuff with a grain of salt. Because you don't know nobody knows how involved it was. Yes, I want Aaron Glenn to coach the team. I want the general manager to manage the assets and the players, and I'll take the owner's position, you know. And that's what I'd like to do.
There's a few things from that, including not really knowing the GM's name.
Moogie!
Amazing.
The general manager. First of all, the other thing that came out on this is no one really knows. No, you know.
Yeah, tell us.
Tell us. If you're saying those reports were exaggerated and untrue, well, then clarify what exactly happened. And the other thing is, when he puts it back on the reporter and says, do you believe that stuff? I would have, without missing a beat, say, yeah.
Yeah.
I do, Woody. Prove me wrong.
Right.
With that said,
did you fire your head coach? Who else was involved in the discussion with firing your head coach?
Right.
Was it your now long gone general manager? Right. Was it your brother?
Or was it just you?
Or was it just you?
So were you
heavily involved in everything that went down. But he
by,
does.
By the way, that would have just clarified that example, and it'll tell you all you need to know.
But he didn't clarify. He didn't clarify anything. Well, he just fought with the reporter saying, don't believe everything you read.
Also, nobody challenged him.
Right.
Somebody should have challenged him.
They weren't expecting Woody to ask a question back.
Right.
Now, this was a very good question. Hey, Woody, do you self-scout? Do you kind of realize, hey, as an owner, maybe this is what I need to be better at?
Woody, hyperbole aside, do you ever self-scout personally? Do you ever think about how more involved, less involved, or how the way you conduct your business?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to look in the mirror and write. I have to be a better owner. I'm trying to be better. And I do self-scout. And a lot of people scout for me, you know, right?
On Twitter.
Yes, on Twitter, that's how we scout. I appreciate that he's at least saying, yes, I'm evaluating what I need to do better, because a part of why this organization has been a disaster is you. Actually, the main reason the organization has been a disaster is you. Then specifically he's asked, okay, Woody, how can you be a better owner?
How can you be a better owner, in your view?
I think I did it today by introducing you to the two leaders of this team. That's part of it. The second is I've got to have patience or whatever. I've got to let them evolve as in these positions, which I think they will. I think it'll be quick, but I think they'll evolve.
If you can get past the fact that he's really awkward when he speaks, like, I need to have patience or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if you leave that part out, the answer is the right answer. The right answer is, yes, I think I hired the right guys, and I'm going to get out of the way and be more patient.
Yeah.
That's the answer. That's what you need from an owner. So the question we have to ask ourselves are, do we believe him? Now, if we think he's full of crap, then it's just words, and it doesn't matter. But if he really is going to be different, and he really did self-scout, and he did say, hey, what I need to be better at is being patient, then that's a good thing. And maybe, just maybe, we as Jet fans are going to finally see this organization turn around.
I hope so. I mean, it's the best way to manage a business. You empower people and then let them do their jobs. And the more you get involved, especially when you're not an expert at the football side of things, it's one thing to know on the business side of things, which we all know and we talked about a lot of times, despite the failures of the last couple of seasons, how successful the New York Jets as a business are, $7 billion to be exact, and the merchandising and everything else, season tickets, even though that's just a small percentage of their overall revenue because of the TV deal. This is a successful organization, but to be a successful football team takes football minds, and you hired those guys, let them do their jobs, period.
That's it, and that'll be the test over the next few years. Let's go to Scott in Manhattan. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to run something by you. I mean, I'm just speaking as a football fan and not a Jet fan. But I'm looking at to say this. I'm glad that Aaron Glenn, what he's doing is so that not letting the inmates run the asylum, so that's a good thing. And but I'm just thinking, like, do you think that they had a discussion with the quarterback already? So, I mean, Aaron, do you think that he came, Aaron, like, that he came across antagonistic? Because if you had this, I mean, to put me on blast, I'm in his spot at a press conference, do you think he can take that away? Could it go south? I just want to know what you guys think.
That's a good question, Scott, because basically what you're asking is if, because Aaron Glenn didn't address any other player, just Aaron Rodgers, that it's like, we know what the issue is, and it's Aaron Rodgers, I'm cutting it off before you ask. That could have offended Aaron Rodgers. And as Aaron's thinking, I'm not the problem. Like, I had a pretty good season type of thing. But I think Aaron Glenn had to do that. Right? He had to cut off any questions about Aaron Rodgers. Otherwise, it would have taken the entire press conference.
Well,
and so I think he handled it well, and he probably told Aaron Rodgers that he was going to do that.
Well, two things. The quarterback is always going to be asked more about than any other player, than any other position.
No doubt.
It is the most important position in sports, let alone the most important position in the NFL. So the idea that Aaron Rodgers is the one individual player that's being asked about should come as no surprise to anyone, especially Aaron Rodgers. As far as offending Aaron Rodgers is concerned, here's the way I look at it, and this is why I think the Jets and Aaron Glenn are in a great position. They're in a wonderful position. Mm-hmm. And that is, they don't have to grovel to this guy.
Right, they don't have to care.
If he doesn't like something Aaron Glenn said, if he didn't like the tone, if he didn't like the fact Aaron Glenn cursed in his press conference, whatever it is, then toodles. We'll see you later, bro. You don't have to beg anymore. That's the spot the Jets are in. And that's why, like, as a fan, if he's back, it's because Aaron Glenn sees this as a situation that can work. If he's not back, see you later. We start over.
Right, it's easy.
You don't have to grovel anymore. Like, I think you kind of pointed it out, Sean. I give you some credit last year in training camp that it felt like Aaron Rodgers was the alpha and Rob Saleh almost had to bend a knee to him. And, well, we're self-coached. You know, Aaron can do what he wants.
Well, no, we saw that just when the fact that he wasn't around for that mandatory off-season activity.
Right.
The 3 days, the one mandatory 3-day time period, he wasn't there.
Mm.
Every other time he was there, and Robert Saleh had no idea how to address it.
Right.
At all.
Now there's a head coach who I think says, it's my way or the highway. And if you're not on board, okay, we'll change quarterback. We don't have to kiss your ass.
Right. And to where Aaron Glenn came from, what Rodgers pulled under Robert Saleh, fair or unfair to Robert Saleh, would not have happened under Sean Payton and would not have happened under Dan Campbell. And I think that's what you're getting here from Aaron Glenn.
And Bill Parcells. Don't leave him out.
Yes.
You're right. And I think that's where it's a great question that Scott asked, but I'm at the point where I don't care if it offended Aaron Rodgers. Mm. Like, okay, great. He's offended. See you later. Go somewhere else. Go quarterback somewhere else. The Jets don't have to grovel to you. This isn't last year or the year before that. Matt's in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on?
Oh, good.
Hey, Evan, I don't know what's going on. You might have to wear the L. You got to mark the calendar. It's every time the Jets get a new head coach. It's, I don't want him. I don't want him. Now we have him. We got him. You don't have to bend a break for Aaron Rodgers. It's like the same thing. You know what's going to happen week three? Aaron Glenn messes up and go 0-3. You guys are going to turn around and go, oh, Aaron Rodgers needs to make that decision. What do we do with Aaron Glenn? First-year head coach. Well, oh, what, we knew we were wrong.
I can't. First of all, you're saying two things. One may be true. On the back end, am I going to be screaming and yelling week three, week four when things go bad? If Aaron Glenn deserves criticism, yes. I will call it like it is. But it's not the same. That's a misnomer. I know how I felt, and I know what I said when they hired Robert Saleh, when they hired Adam Gase, when they hired Todd Bowles.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Adam Gase, I wanted to nuke the place. I hated it. I hated the hire. I hated the interview. I hated everything about it. So Adam Gase, let's put to the side. We've even talked about the Adam Gase test. That's the hire that drives you nuts. With Robert Saleh, my opinion was I have cautious optimism. I hope he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
With Aaron Glenn, I believe he's the guy.
Well, and the difference between...
That's the difference.
But Evan, we all, and this includes me because I'm not even a Jet fan, with Saleh, the reason he got hired, everybody saw his, you know, 49ers sideline, demonstrate, all of that stuff. He was animated. He was not that guy the moment he became the head coach.
That's right.
Already, you could tell, again, it's a press conference and, you know, whatever, Aaron Glenn seems like he's exactly the guy you saw in Detroit and New Orleans.
Yeah.
Robert Saleh immediately was almost too nice for the job with the Jets.
And look, I suck. Maybe that's what did him in. The one thing I know is you may predict doom and gloom for the Jets. That's totally fine. You've got a better chance of being right than wrong. But this is not the same. It's not like every time they hire a coach, I or other Jet fans say the exact same thing. I said something different about Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
It was cautious optimism. Do I sound cautious right now? I sound arrogant and douchey, and I apologize for that, but I'm fired up. I think they got it right. The thing I hope is that Woody Johnson does what he says, and what he said was he was going to butt the hell out. And if that's true, then I actually like where this franchise is going.
If they think there is a guy in this draft that they believe is a franchise quarterback that maybe no one else does, you know, you talk about Bo Nix, people thought second round, look where the Broncos got him. If they believe that there is a guy there and you don't want him to play year one, which we have seen over and over again can benefit the quarterback long term, then I think they're in good position to have Aaron Rodgers come back for a year, help the kid out. He's your quarterback next year. If they look at this draft and think there's nothing but crap out there, then I don't know what they do. Because you're right. If they bring Aaron Rodgers back and let's say they're a 9-8 football team, which is not great, it's better, but it ain't great. You ain't winning anything. And now you're in the middle of the draft for next year when you've got, and I don't know what the 2026 draft looks like, but if you want to be in the top five, now you've played yourself out of that mix, then it's complicated. But if they think there's a guy there that they can get at 7, 8, 9, wherever they end up drafting in the first round, then I think it's not easy, but you know what I'm saying. I think they have a solution to what their problem is. If not, then they're in hell.
Yeah, the New England Patriots are in the exact situation I wish the Jets were in. They got a experienced head coach. They've got a proven offensive coordinator, and they got a quarterback that they drafted last year that looked pretty good this past year.
Looked okay. To me, I was not crazy on what Drake May did this year at all. I am not sold.
They also had probably the worst roster.
100%. But I didn't see, I saw nothing out of Drake May that makes me think they have their franchise quarterback.
I think it was, I thought he was pretty good. For what they had, I thought he was pretty good. You know, I mean, that guy who played Joe Milton, that guy.
He impressed me in the last game.
Yeah, no, that was insane.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to trade him, but maybe he gets so loud in that facility that, hey, I want to start and I'm better than Drake May, that they end up having to trade him. But if that guy's on the trading block, both the Jets and the Giants should be listening because he was that good. It was nuts. I mean, Phil Simms said it, too. I mean, he was like the most impressed he'd seen.
He popped off the screen.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I bet the under of that game because I thought he was going to come in and be terrible. And I was like,
he looked like a guy that had done it before and was very comfortable playing.
Yeah. But that's the situation, though, on paper, whether you love Drake May's prospects or not. But still, you know, that's the situation I would want the Jets to be in. And they don't. I mean, they've got a first-time head coach. They got a first-time general manager. They've got no solution at the quarterback position. They've got an owner you don't trust. It's the exact opposite.
Other than that, it sounds great.
But it's the exact opposite of the Patriots.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, the Bills are in your division, too.
Yeah, that's the problem when you're a team like the Jets and you're looking up at a team like the Bills. Even the Dolphins, to me, are still ahead of them, clearly. And if you're a team like the Giants, you still are looking up now at the Commanders and the Eagles for years and years. There's nothing easy about it.
No.
You just got to take care of your own business and hope that you can at some point leapfrog past these teams. Right now, they are years away from it, it would appear.
And there were two guys out there that actually wanted to be the Jets head coach. One was Rex Ryan. Right. The other was Aaron Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody else who was getting offers or interviews in multiple places. Now, Rex was not. But there was nobody other than Aaron Glenn who had been requested by multiple teams that had the Jets at the top of his list.
The one thing I do like about, so I'm with you. I don't love the fact that they went with a first-time head coach because we've seen it over and over and over again and it has not gone great. But I would say, much like Rex, he has been here not as a coach, and I understand that, but he understands the Jet way. He understands the organization. He understands the fan base. Nothing, I don't believe, will be a surprise to Aaron Glenn. Whereas you can make a case for, had they hired Liam Cohen, he would be shell-shocked by, let's say, May.
Yeah, I mean, I can't sit here and say that, you know, press conferences don't matter and then slam Liam Cohen and think he's going to be terrible. But I would be afraid if I were a Jaguars fan.
Yeah. And again, if he was the Jets head coach, you'd be thinking, is his guy built for New York? We know Aaron Glenn has done it before on the player as a player. He knows what he's getting himself into.
Yeah, but I also thought that the Eagles made a huge mistake with Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, so did I.
You know, and he's, well, then again,
they also have a great roster.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So, you know, they had really good coordinators the first time they went to the Super Bowl that ended up both getting hired somewhere else. Then the next year, he had replaced those coordinators. They had a massive collapse, and he was on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back, and they hire two very good coordinators, and they're back into the Super Bowl. And Howie Roseman is probably the best executive in football.
And their drafting has been superb. Like, they've been able to fill gaps without spending money because they have drafted really well. You put together a great roster. And we're not in the locker room. I don't know if Nick Sirianni is a good coach or not. I know when he's in front of the microphone, he sounds terrible. But these guys play for him. They've got great play, great wideout, great running back. The quarterback's very good. The defense is sensational in spots. They're a good team. I mean, it's part of it. You know, if you remember the year going into Todd Bowles last year with the Jets?
Yeah, where it basically was set up to fail.
Yes. The conversation going into that season was that the Jets are going to be brutal. They did nothing in the offseason to help the roster. They were picked to be a bad team. They were expected to be a bad team. They were going to have a big draft pick, and away we go. Everything happened the way we thought it would, and then Todd Bowles gets fired because they played badly.
Yeah, well,
you're kidding. You had a bad team.
That's sort of what happened with Gerard Mayo.
Yes, that's fair. He was set up to fail.
I mean, and also Vrabel being out there, which they should have hired him last year. But then again, Boomer said there might have been language in a contract that he was going to go maybe be a head coach somewhere else, and they had him be the successor to Bill Belichick. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, there was no way that the Patriots were going to be better than they were this year.
Mm-mm. Now, there have been teams that have had talent. that don't play well. Sure. And that, to me, that's where the coach comes in. But in a lot of those cases, too, there are issues. Like the Jets, roster-wise, pretty good. The quarterback was terrible in the beginning. He was. He wasn't great. He was clearly not back. I still think it goes back to the injury last year, which is why as the season wore on, he got better, because the further away he got from that injury and the work he puts in, he got healthier and healthier. Never to be a good team, but they were better. The Cowboys fell off the face of the earth. They were terrible early, too, but Dak got hurt. They were okay. You know, all of a sudden, things start to fall out of place. You're not a good team. You stay, a lot of these teams in the NFL, some have had injury issues, sure, but a lot of them are relatively healthy in key spots, and that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah, and when I was talking about this job being open and no one wanting the job, who was a hot candidate or someone who is, you know, that would have multiple offers, you know, the Jets ended up getting at least someone with ties to the organization who wanted to be here, as opposed to hiring just anybody. You know, I do think that with what was stacked against them, they did okay with Aaron Glenn.
I agree. They could have done a lot worse. I completely agree.
But it's still, I still wanted to see. I just don't know how you don't talk to Mike McCarthy and Pete Carroll. And it's not like those guys need to be here for 5 or 6 years, but just a stabilizing force of someone who can come in and be like, man, you know, I ran winning programs for a long time. And the way this is going here is not, this doesn't work. And the way this is going here, that doesn't work.
Right. You bring those two guys in, you expect to win. You bring Aaron Glenn in, you're hoping that he turns out to be a great coach.
Well, and now it's almost, I mean, you got to give him a pass in the beginning. It almost feels like that.
It's a learning curve.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
Because I can't expect him to come in and be the greatest coach ever in year one. Even though it is funny, though, with the Jets and Giants, it's like that first year is a good year with these coaches. And then after that, I mean, so like Mangini, Herm Edwards, Todd Bowles, Saleh not so much. And then the Giants.
Well, the Giants, same deal.
Brian Daboll, yep. Joe Judge. They were 6-10, but like the first year they were encouraged.
It did feel different, though. Yeah. It did. Especially the way the season ended. They were playing better towards the end of the season. It seemed like he had really gotten things turned around in the right direction, and then they didn't.
McAdoo, another one, playoffs first year. Yeah. It's amazing. But the Jets, are their first year of the new head coach, are great, and then they fall off a cliff.
It has been. We've had a couple of good seasons here and there, and you're right, the first years have been better than most, but it's been a lot of seasons where the NFL season's over in New York in October.
Well, it's going to be again this year, I think.
Likely. Yeah. Likely. Although, but here's the one difference. If, let's say, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders is the quarterback of the Giants, at least you feel like you're watching something and building something. So, yeah, you might be 2-4 in October, but if Shedeur Sanders is really starting to look the part, and you may think that it's a pipe dream to make the playoffs, but at least you feel like you've got your quarterback, and it's a much different feel to the year than what we've seen.
Yeah, and I don't know if you start him right away or not. I mean, we got to see what he looks like in the preseason and everything else, because, you know, Jaden Daniels started week one, got better every single week. That doesn't mean that you can just do that with anybody else.
Yeah, usually it doesn't work out so well.
I mean, and that's why, I mean, I hated the J.J. McCarthy pick, but I like it so much better now because he didn't play last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they were gonna force him in there at some point. I mean, even though Sam was playing really well, so maybe not. But the fact that he got hurt, there was no choice but for him to sit out and watch everything.
And he's been around the team, around the organization, and around the league, and he should be better for it next year.
Yes. So that makes it a little bit more of a positive thing. Just wanted to go back and read the perspective of the places that Steve Wilkes was at, you know, some of these places, some of these teams, these jobs, and what the media was saying when he left there. So I went back to the year that he spent in Missouri as the defensive coordinator for the Missouri Tigers.
What year was that?
2021.
All right, so a couple years ago.
2021.
Recent, yep.
All right. In his lone season in charge of the defense, the Tigers struggled greatly in Wilkes' 4-2-5 defensive system, particularly against the run. Of Missouri's 13 opponents, 7 of them rushed for over 200 yards. In-state opponent Southeast Missouri even racked up 294 yards on the ground. In an October game at home against Tennessee, the Tigers' defense hit rock bottom. The defense yielded nearly 700 yards of total offense, 458 rushing yards in a 62-24 blowout loss. Despite calls by many for the in-season firing of Wilkes, he was retained. Okay, so then I go back, why did the 49ers fire Steve Wilks? So Shanahan says it's just he's a good guy. Is it the guy we were getting, just not a fit for us? But the final straw in this Fox Sports article says that after the Super Bowl loss to the Chiefs, defensive end Nick Bosa questioned if San Francisco's defense was ready for Kansas City's designed running plays. Bosa's words appeared to be the final straw for Shanahan, who moved quickly to dismiss Wilks and stated the organization look at internal external candidates. So, and by the way, they allowed 149.3 rushing yards per game during the postseason and had a 50% conversion rate on third down. So these are just a couple of examples about how these defenses that he went to stunk and they couldn't stop the run. So you could go back and say, oh, Steve Wilks, former head coach, oh, all these other stops, experience. I mean, there's a couple of disastrous examples of this guy running defenses in the last couple of years.
Which is unfortunate, but that's the resume. That's what you're looking at. And you just got to hope that, you know, his team here is laden with really good players at all three levels. And hopefully those players will respond to what he wants to do on defense. And hopefully he and Aaron, Glenn, are in sync with what they want their defense to look like. I would think that they would be. I would think that that's why you would hire a guy, because you're thinking the same way about defense. But he's got a good roster here. He had a good roster in San Francisco. I don't know about the Missouri situation. They probably didn't have very many good players, I would think. But, it's just whether or not the players will play for him, and he knows how to call a defense, especially when it's situational. And that's really what it comes down to, is whether or not the coordinators know how to call the defenses. And I don't want to be like 10 games into the regular season next year and Aaron Glenn saying, I'm taking over defensive game calling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And it's certainly something that could be.
I mean, like, to me, so like the Cowboys just hired Matt Eberflus as their defense coordinator. And they got rid of your former head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eberflus is a highly respected defensive coordinator. Didn't work that well for him in Chicago, unfortunately, but he's a highly respected defensive coordinator. You know, I mean, did the Jets even attempt to call him?
Yeah, I don't think so. No. They didn't also interview Mike McCarthy or Pete Carroll or John Gruden or anybody else that had experience.
Yeah, that's why I think that I do believe that they had their eyes on either Vrabel or Aaron Glenn. And they got the guy that ultimately said he wanted the job and it's the only job he wanted, which is something that sounded great. And that's what you want.
Let's go to Mario and Howell. What's going on, Mario?
Hey, good morning, guys. Just wanted to kind of touch up again on what we're talking about with Glenn's hiring here. You know, I think as Jet fans, we had to kind of be realistic here as far as like who they're going to be bringing in. I mean, they had to bring in someone with experience I was hoping on both sides of the ball. They couldn't hire a first-time defensive coordinator again after hiring a first-time head coach. So, you know, I think it was probably mandated that Glenn bring in someone with some experience, you know, maybe head coaching experience. I think Wilks kind of got like a raw deal in San Fran. I know you mentioned just now the scheme when he was at Missouri, the 4-2-5. He's a defensive backs coach. That's where he cut his kind of teeth in coaching. So I think he kind of favors more, you know, the defensive backs. That might be beneficial to maybe helping a guy like Sauce. So, and on the offensive side, I mean, realistically, like we were talking about Nick Caley from McVay with the Rams here. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're an up-and-coming guy who might be looking to make the jump to an offensive coordinator right now, the Jets aren't a desirable location for you when you have spots like Tampa Bay has a spot open. Houston has a spot open. Is Schottenheimer calling the plays there in Dallas, or is he going to delegate that? Is Ben Johnson going to be calling the plays in Chicago, or is he going to be delegating? So, like, we have to be realistic here. You know, it's almost career suicide if you make a move to the Jets where you can pretty much be done like in a year or two, and now you're, you know, you're like Adam Gase.
You know the boy genius was last year in the NFL that was going to get all these interviews, and he was a great offensive coordinator because he had such an impact on the young rookie quarterback that he was coaching.
Yeah, Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, and where's he just got fired.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
So, you know, what's he doing now?
Nothing as far as I know. Now, another example of that, when you said if you're Nick Cayley, who's in the Rams organization, and why would you want to come to the Jets? The offensive coordinator for the LA Rams is Mike LaFleur.
Right, he'd probably tell him, don't go to the Jets.
Yeah, who did go to the Jets and got spit back out very quickly.
Exactly. And again, these coaches are not stupid. You know, they want to go where they think that they're going to have a modicum of success, where they could advance themselves through the players that they are coaching. And that's why the Bears and the Jaguars and the Cowboys make a lot of sense for these coaches, because, you know, the Cowboys, they have some of the best players in the NFL. And they got a great quarterback, no matter what anybody says. Dak Prescott is a real deal quarterback, and they got a real deal wide receiver
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. I mean, they have players down there. So I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Schottenheimer gets that team to 10-7. That wouldn't surprise me. They had so many injuries this year. They lost their quarterback. You know, they're going to be aggressive in free agency.
They got the Giants in their division.
Yeah, I know, but they're going to also have to deal with Philadelphia, and they got to deal with Washington. But I do think it's a better job just simply because of the quarterback situation, even though you got to deal with the ownership. But he knows the ownership because he's been there.
The Jets will introduce their new head coach, Aaron Glenn, and their new GM, Darren Moogie. Did I say that correct? I always feel like when you say Moogie, it just doesn't feel right.
Nobody knows anything about this guy, so I've heard Moogie, but I don't know if anybody knows for sure. We'll find out.
I don't know. I'm going to say Moogie. Moogie.
And that's what we're all going to
do.
I thought of that and Great Googly Moogly.
Great Googly Moogly. Great Googly Moogly. And now he does the, fumble Ruski, bundle Ruski. I kind of like that too. Wasn't bad. I like Andy Reid. Good guy. I wish he wasn't in the Super Bowl, though. But yeah, so they'll introduce their new first-time head coach and their new first-time general manager today, 1 o'clock. Looking forward to it. Get to finally hear these guys. Get a chance to understand what's going on, whether or not Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure that will be one of the first questions asked. But as we'll react to it tomorrow. But just to tie it into these games a little bit, because I mentioned this before. You know, my concern, and a lot of concerns, but a lot of people's concerns of the rookie head coach and defensive mind head coach. And I got to be honest with you, like, I fear a little bit, and me and Fliegelman were talking about this, I fear a little bit that last night you could be watching what the ceiling for a defensive minded head coach is in the NFL now. And I know that's unfair. Right, I know that's unfair. You never know. You got to get the right players. I mean, he's got Josh Allen, but like, I'm just worried that McDermott and the success they've had, because this is success. This is far more success than the Jet fan has had in forever. Consistent division champ, consistently playing in either, you know, this game or divisional round. Like, the level of success McDermott and the Bills have hit is a level of success that I think any Jet fan would certainly be thrilled with. And the prospect of Aaron Glenn being as good a head coach as McDermott and taking the team to those heights seems like, you know, too good to be true. And what a great thing how could it get better? And yet it runs stale eventually. And I just wonder if what we are looking at with McDermott is the ceiling for a defensive-minded coach. Motivated guy, gets the team to play well, wins a lot of football games, but in the end, gets beat by the offensive-minded head coach and the offensive team, because that's today's NFL. There has not been a rule instituted over the last 30 years that helps the defense. Now, you got to play defense, you got to stop it, but I'm just saying, like, we see this defense time and time and time again not be able to stop Patrick Mahomes. Just time and time again. Now, I expect him to come in here and motivate people. I expect him to come in here and you know, stop the nonsense and hold people accountable. And I will see. I think he has an opportunity to be a really good head coach in this league. So is McDermott. Can't win the big game. Can't win the big game. And there's, you know, there's nothing other than just past history and how I feel the NFL is trending to make me feel that. Because if he's a great head coach, maybe this won't matter. But it's nothing else than just McDermott is one of the better, successful head coaches in the NFL. And he's one of the few defensive head coaches along with, you know, now Quinn. But again, they both lost this game. He's one of the only defensive coaches that is consistently in this game. Consistently in this game. And he's lost coordinators and he might lose another one. And the offense changes and the defense remains the same. And ultimately, as great as Josh Allen is, he's still been unable to get over this hump. And I think for Jet fans right now, the template that the Bills have set, you'd love, you want to win the division five times in the next 6 years? That sounds great. But even that gets stale. Eventually you have to win, and they can't win the big game, man. They just can't. Last year they couldn't. This year they can't. Like, how many times do they have to fall at the feet of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? Like, how many times before you try and do something different? And it's just, as you go into it, in today's NFL, I'd rather take the shot at the offensive head coach. Now, look, we've seen O'Connell is one of the more well-thought-of head coaches, learned at the feet of McVay, you know, just signed a massive extension, one of the better head coaches in the league. He couldn't beat Daniel Jones, right? And he just lost in the playoffs this year. So he can't, I mean, it's only 2 years, but offensive head coach, defensive head coach, I'm not saying it guarantees success. I just feel like it's so trending towards offense these days that it seems like you're going to hire a defensive head coach. I hope this isn't the limit on where he can go. And I know he hasn't even had a press conference yet, just opining as we watch a defensive head coach consistently come up short in the big moments. Consistently. 888-808-1019, but he'll have a press conference on Monday. We'll get more into that, and we'll have reaction to that tomorrow, 2 a.m. And the question about Aaron Rodgers, there has been some reports. Ian Rappaport, I saw, reported that he believes that Glenn would be open to bringing back Rodgers, and he believes that Rodgers would be open on a return. But as Aaron Rodgers himself has told us a bunch, nobody knows what he's thinking. Nobody talks to anybody close with him. So I have a hard time believing any reports I hear on what Aaron Rodgers is feeling or believing or willing to do or anything like that. But, I mean, we talked, I would be shocked. I understand that it comes with a bit of a headache. And I understand he's his own guy and beats to his own drum. I get it. He's also so far and away the best option to win this year that I find it hard to believe that a head coach stepping into a Jet situation and a head coach that understands, right, played here, won here, lost here, understands the market, understands the fan base. I'm sure he's going to explain to you very clearly and eloquently and make you ready to run through a wall tomorrow, today at 1 o'clock, how he understands this team and understands this city and is going to have a team that plays for this fan base. But all of that sounds hollow and will ring hollow if you don't have a winning season year one. Now, I'm not saying they'll fire him off a bad year one, but it sets you in the wrong direction. I don't know where they go from here. I don't know who they come bring into play. I don't know how they build a roster with the big cap hit of $40-plus million from Rodgers, or at least what quarterback they bring in. To me, if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you give yourself a chance to compete this year. And hell, let's be told, if it falls apart, you blame Aaron Rodgers. It's easy. The fans will buy that. Fans will eat that up. Hey, We tried one more year with Aaron Rodgers and our new head coach. We thought we could fix the defense, fix the accountability issue, and we went at it one more time with Aaron Rodgers. He was under contract. It wasn't financially feasible to move on from him and get the same kind of production of 28-11. We just felt it was in the best interest. It fell apart, and now we begin our rebuild with our new head coach and our new GM. Give yourself a chance to win, and even if it fails, you got yourself a freebie of a year. So I don't know how, I don't know in what world. Again, I'm not in this thing. I've never been in a locker room. I don't understand. All right, I'll be the first to tell you. But I do understand what goes on here and how desperately they need to win. And I do understand if I were a head coach walking into the room, I certainly wouldn't say, oh yeah, you see that Hall of Famer over there, one of the best to ever pick up a ball and throw it? Let's move on from him and give me, I don't know. Let me walk in as a first-time defensive head coach and have no idea what my quarterback position looks like. Or I could bring in a steady veteran who at least I know will give me some competent football, and if I fix the defense like I know I can, maybe I could have a winning team this year. Maybe I win 9-10 games and sneak into a playoff spot in the AFC and become the conquering hero who ends this ridiculous drought and who stops them from becoming a laughingstock. The laughing needs to stop. Same thing with the Giants, man. The Giants and the Jets, and, you know, this is the Giants' fault because they were in the playoffs a couple of years ago. The Giants have found themselves in the same boat as the New York Jets. Easy pickings. Easy to make fun of. Easy to mock. Easy to make the joke about. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong mocking the Giants. Who's going to stop you? Who's gonna step in and go, well, if you look at it, no, they're awful. Same thing with the Jets right now. Easy pickings. You could pick them apart. So I don't, like, that's what needs to change. That's what needs to change. They need to stop the losing. They need to figure this out. And this defensive coach needs to come in and do what he says he can do. Build the defense, create a culture, fix the accountability, and get some decent quarterback play and win some freaking games. That'd be nice. I feel a hell of a lot better about that than turning the quarterback position over to God knows what.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan Special Day, having the Yankee manager Aaron Boone in studio, 1 o'clock. A little pull your card. I got it right here, BT. 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89.
Those are some nice looking packs, man. Still fresh, in the...
Freshies. Yeah, these
yeah,
ones
those are fresh
like,
ones right
this is
there.
Like $30 each right here.
30?
Yeah.
Like, good, expensive. I'm sure you'll get it back at some point.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, but what I am going to do is hopefully we pull like a Tony Gwynn rookie. I think it's Gwynn and Boggs or something. They're a special card. 84 is Mattingly and Straw. 85 has a bunch too, Doc and Clemens. Anyway, they could be worth something depending on what kind of condition they're in. But we have those packs set for Aaron Boone, who will be joining us in studio coming up at 1 o'clock. And because of that, and because of the Jets' new hire yesterday and the conversation today about the quarterback, a lot of Aarons here in this town. Maybe not even that many, but impactful Aarons. You have Boone, you have Glenn, you have Rodgers, you have Judge. So let's rank the Aarons, and this will be rank them based on... I don't want to say talent, maybe impact or...
You want to go with impact?
Yeah, let's go impact.
All right, go with impact. So, obviously, so this is the impact list. Clearly, Judge by far is number one.
Right.
And clearly, since the criteria is impact, Glenn is last.
Right.
Because he hasn't done anything yet except just get us a little jacked up after another awful season, which we appreciate, by the way, Coach. All right, so Judge 1, Glenn 4. Impact. Oh, Booney is 2, and Rodgers is 3. Yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
Already with the kiss.
Dude, he's won five games, Aaron Rodgers. I like him.
I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Boone was just in the World Series.
Aaron Rodgers is a four-time
MVP. Get the hell out of here. Yeah, not for us.
But it was specific to here or just impact in general?
I mean, I took it as here. Yeah. That's
all
how
right.
I took it.
All right, well, how about this one?
What?
Rank the Aarons and who you'd want to hang out with.
Hang out, like dinner, drinks, socially, hang out like with that?
Or have in studio to hang out with.
That's a good one. All right, that's a good one.
Probably flips almost, no?
I'm going to say that Judge might be last.
For the record, I had Judge, Rodgers, Boone, then Glenn in the last one.
Yeah, you did? Okay. In terms of hanging out, I don't know that Judge is a big party, or not that I am, but if I want to have like a really fun night, Don't you think you have to go Rodgers one?
Yeah, this is a tough one because I do love Boone.
I think Boone could get loose too. So to me, it's either Rodgers or Boone one in terms of having a good night out.
Rodgers might be, though. I would love to interview him, and I would love to hang with him.
Yep.
But he might be a little too sophisticated for my liking.
Maybe that's couldn't understand what he was saying, or you just didn't even get bored.
Get bored by it. The books and theories. And
I would appreciate
philosophy.
That to a limit.
Right.
To
like you're more political. I don't care about this. I don't want to get into it.
He talks about literature. It's not all politics.
I think I'm going.
Religion? Yeah, it's deep.
No, I'm kissing ass. I'm going Boone first in this regard. I'd want to hang with Boone. Then Glenn, I think Glenn could be.
Yeah, I get it.
Now, although I worry about, like, if I had maybe one drink too many, Glenn would be like, put that down. You've had enough. Yeah. You've had enough to drink. That's enough.
He might.
But I would go, maybe I change that up. Maybe I go Boone 1, Rodgers 2, Glenn 3, Judge 4.
Judge away from the field seems a little boring.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's fine.
He's an amazing person, but.
I'm sure he's fine. I like the other guys better.
I'm with you.
All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll have the opportunity to hang out with one of those Aarons today coming up at 1 o'clock. Back to talking about the other Aarons. Johnny K is in the Bronx. What's up, Johnny?
Yes, how you doing? You know, there's two scenarios here. This is a great year for edge rushers in the draft. So you got to keep Rodgers. Hope you get an edge rusher. And you can get lightning in the bottle with Rodgers. I thought he had a great second half. He moved better. He threw the ball well. And what's your alternative? Maybe you take Will Howard in the third round or Milroe from Alabama. Then, but I keep Rodgers. You can get light in that division. You can win that division.
Well,
that division is not so tough.
Well, I mean, listen, let's give the Bills a little more respect than that. But I got you. I think no matter what happens, I think the next plan for the Jets has to basically always include, throwing a line in the water every draft here and coming out with a quarterback, until you actually find one. So you have a situation maybe someday like you have Brady, you have Garoppolo, you have Jacoby Brissett. Again, varying degrees of success there. Brissett's a good backup. Jimmy G is a slightly above average starter, maybe not right now, but he was for a couple years. And I think that's how you improve the quarterback room. I think that you do that. Now, the problem is you've got to make sure the other positions of need, you got to make sure your O-line's set up. Because you can't just take a flyer on a quarterback in round three if you got, two turnstiles on the offensive line. Your quarterback's going to get killed.
What do you think is their biggest need right now?
I think they got to stop the run. I actually think their offensive line, I know that sounds crazy because it's been a problem for a while, is better than their D-line. I think their run stopping was awful.
Hypothetically, if the Jets were picking where the Giants were,
At three?
Yeah. What would you say? Like, would you want a quarterback now? Say Shador forces his way. Let's just say the Jets are in a similar situation. Shador might force his way out of Cleveland.
I don't want Shador Sanders for the Giants, I don't want him for the Jets. Okay. I don't think he's what a lot of people think he is.
So it's more about this draft not being quarterback?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I would I be open to, like, if I had the third spot with the Jets and there was a quarterback, like there was three or four quarterbacks, and I love, I think you could do that there.
Let's play this out. Let's say that best case scenario, right? Jets select whoever they select with the seventh pick. Aaron Rodgers.
I think they're going to trade, by the way. That's just
trade
my gut.
Down?
Trade out. Yeah, get
okay.
Some, yeah.
Well, whatever. Let's say they have a 10-win season. Rodgers comes back. Glenn's first year, 10-win season. They get to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to be picking middle of the pack the following year.
And he won't have a chance to get that quarterback. Yeah.
Right. So, like, there could be, and then even if, let's say, Rodgers comes back again and whatever, you're 8-9-win team. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a good thought process, actually. That's why the Giants picking Saquon at two. Well, that's one of the reasons the Giants taking Saquon at two was problematic there. Listen, if you're in a spot and you're drafting top three, top four, and you're a franchise who doesn't, and now you've got to be right in these projections, but doesn't anticipate being there again anytime soon based on your talent, then you probably got to take the swing when you're there. I know what you mean.
It's exactly what the Atlanta Falcons did a year ago with Penix. Now,
yes,
it happened to
but they loved Penix. You can't just like somebody.
Well, that's the point. Yes, they wouldn't have just taken somebody just to take one, especially in that spot.
No.
But they loved him. He was there, even though they had a quarterback and people ridiculed them and criticized them. They could. Like, when are you going to get that opportunity again to get a guy that you love?
Yeah. And you like the pick. I remember the next day, and I remember watching Penix in Indiana.
Yeah.
Not just west with Washington. I've watched him for years. I like him.
I didn't
but
like
you really you were okay with that.
Here's why. Because I like the thought behind it. It was less about what I think Penix was going to be or what wasn't going to be. It was more about they saw a player that they love, and the quarterback position is the most precious thing. It's the most valued position in the NFL. So when
the most elusive, too.
Well, so when you have a chance to get one.
I hear you.
And they may never be back there again. Like, I thought Atlanta would be better this year, but, you know, playoff team with Kirk Cousins. And by the way, even then, they're not picking in a quarterback spot now. So, like, the goal was to never be picking that high again. Mm-hmm. So if you have a chance, then take that quarterback, which is why I thought it was imperative that the Giants take a quarterback a year ago. They didn't, and now they're in a spot where they kind of have to.
And could reach, which is the worst thing
right.
to do.
Eric is in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Eric.
BC, Sal, how are we doing, gentlemen?
What's up, buddy?
What's happening?
Great conversation on the Jets. And I fired up after that presser yesterday. But, yeah, been there, done that as a Jets fan. So we'll reserve judgment until the season starts. And I'm excited about it. As far as the other Aaron and Rodgers, I completely agree with you guys. I don't see any other way that the Jets are successful without Rodgers at quarterback one next year. And I think... another caller mentioned it, Jordan Travis. That's interesting to me. I don't know where he is in his journey. I know he's had some setbacks and such, but I think, you know, there's always a feel, you know, there's something there. But to me, it's going into the draft. If the Jets truly believe that there is somebody, maybe it's a late round pick like Denver did with Bo Nix, who knows? You know, if they think there's a quarterback there, maybe that's an option. But what drives me crazy is this narrative, whether it's from Jets fans or not, that, you know, they've got to find, you know, the next Patrick Mahomes, right? And they need to get to the Super Bowl. And it's like, look, how about we just win more games than we lose, right? How about we enter the playoffs? How about we just see progress? And the best way for us to get there is with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. I think particularly for Glenn, like, he needs to succeed. He needs to change that culture, which, you know, is a word I hate. But nonetheless, he does need to change the locker room. Winning does that, right? Winning solves all. So if the Jets can walk into next year, even if it's a 9-8 season, and
I agree.
They skip the playoffs.
Listen, that's a really good point, and I know we're up against it. I look at it this way. Everybody that's ever played golf more than once or twice wants to eventually become scratched. None of us do, but you want to break 80. You always have these boundaries, right? But before you get there, you've got to break 100.
Right.
Right now, the Jets are they shoot 109s out there. Like, they are wretched. They five putt. They take 7 mulligans. They don't really pay attention to the rules. They are atrocious. Just shoot a 94 before you find your Mahomes.
You can't go from zero to Super Bowl.
No.
You just can't do it. You have to build a winner up the right way, the hard way, and that takes time. BT and Sal on the Fan, more of your calls when we come back.